Well, I'm excited about the opportunity to share this message with you today. And, you know, in recent weeks, we've been looking at several different scriptures that pertain to mountains and pathways and preparing for the journey and all these kinds of different things or elements where scripture talks about we look to the mountains from where our help comes from, or we speak to the mountain and it's moved. Where we climb mountains and we see those things that God has for us and we're able to speak prophetically. Or that we fill our backpack, essentially, or our lives with all these things that prepare us for the journey. Amen. We have enough for ourselves and for others. We have a flashlight in there to be a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. And all these different things of even maps where there's paths and there's roadways, there's all these trails that we can take, there's avenues and things that lead into our life, there's directions and steps that we take as we walk the outroads and the direction that God has for us, and ultimately, of course, His purpose and His plan for our lives. And so I want to conclude this morning with this message that I've entitled, Enjoy the Journey. Amen? Enjoy the Journey. Hallelujah. I think if we can find satisfaction in sacrifice, if we find satisfaction in serving, if we can find satisfaction in simplicity, I think we'll discover something that is a significant truth for our lives. You know, I know many people, myself included, that we try to find ways to avoid sacrifice. We think maybe the answer to enjoyment in life is having no sacrifice, or if we can find somebody else to serve instead of us, right? Many times we complicate things and we lose the beauty of what a very simple thing is. And I think if we can find the significance or the satisfaction in these different areas, I believe we'll be able to walk out this journey that God has for us, this purpose, this His plan for our life with real enjoyment. And so the first one I want to look at is this understanding of sacrifice. John chapter 10, verse 6 through 12, Jesus has just shared this story with His disciples about a flock of sheep. And they're in this, in this pen, and He says, anyone that comes in over the hedge or climbs over the fence or something, that one is a thief. But the good shepherd walks right through the gate, and the sheep are able to go in and out as they choose and find good pasture. And the sheep know His voice, and they follow the good shepherd. And He says Jesus just shares this story with them in John chapter 10, verse 6. It says, but they still didn't understand the things that He spoke to them. And so Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep didn't hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. They will go in and out. They will find pasture. And the thief doesn't come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Now, many times I've heard that scripture, and it's oftentimes used in reference to this abundance that is ours. And I believe that's true. I believe the life that we are called to is an abundant life. But many times we think of that in the terms of, man, I want to have all this money to pay my bills. I want to have this stuff. I don't want to have these worries. I want to be carefree. To me, that's this picture of this abundant life. And listen, I do believe that God does demonstrate His favor, that He does manifest and show things in abundant provision and all these different things. But I believe this life that Jesus is talking about here is more than that. It's much more than that. Because He goes on to say in the very next verse, He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives His life for His sheep. I am convinced that following Christ requires some sacrifice. I don't think we can escape that. Now, listen, I'm into comfort just like most people in America are, right? But I think there's something that Jesus is getting at here about this laying down of His life and finding significance or finding really being able to see the value of sacrifice and what that looks like for you and I as followers of His. I think if we can find satisfaction in that, listen, I'm not talking about being satisfied with sickness. I'm not talking about being satisfied with sin. I'm not talking about that. I believe everything that Christ did was so that we could be free from sin, that we could overcome, that we could be healthy amen, and not have sickness in our body. I'm not talking about being satisfied with that stuff, but I'm talking about something about in the terms of being satisfied or finding satisfaction in sacrifice, in the laying down of your life. That's part of what you're meant to do. That's part of what I'm meant to do. As followers of Christ, Jesus gave us, obviously, the ultimate example of laying down his life. And there really is something that we can discover, I believe, in sacrificing, in laying our lives down, not so much in the sacrifice itself, but in the realization or the understanding of what that sacrifice accomplishes. Your life is significant. Amen? And when you choose to lay your life down, there's value in that. And it can be difficult at times, but just like it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "We look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Now, I don't think there's any way to say that Jesus enjoyed the cross. I'm not saying that. Amen? But I think there was something in his recognition or his realization that he was laying his will down and that he was giving his life and that there was a sacrifice being made that had a greater purpose than just his life at that moment, if that makes sense. And I think if you and I can see our lives in that way, that this sacrifice, that this laying down of our lives, it may be difficult at times. There may be challenges. There may be difficulties and situations that we find ourselves in, but there's something more significant beyond that as we lay our lives down and as we're willing to do that to follow Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, Paul is writing to the Corinthians and he says, "Watch you, stand fast in the faith, quit like men, be strong." And that scripture literally means where he says, quit like men. Basically what he's saying is he says, be willing to give up your life before you give up your faith. Amen. Be willing to lay your life down before you give up this freedom that you have from the gospel. This relationship that you have with Christ, this purpose, this call on your life is so significant, so wonderful. Be willing to lay your life down before you lay that down, before you give that up, because you've been made free, amen? How many of you have had your lives changed through the love of Jesus Christ? Amen? We all have. Man, and if we can remind ourselves of that and remember how significant that is, that we would be willing to lay our lives down. Looking and reflecting on this scripture from John chapter 10, where Jesus talks about being the shepherd, there's a reference in the Old Testament of David. Many of you probably know it, but it's 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 34 through 36. And David is there with Saul. The Goliath is out there taunting the nation of Israel. Here comes David, and he says to Saul, he says, "Your servant David has kept his father's sheep. There came a lion or a bear. He took a lamb from the flock, and I went out after him. I smote him. I delivered him, the lamb, out of the bear's mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard. I smote him, and I slew him. The servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine is going to be like one of those, seeing that he has defied the armies of the living God." Amen. Now, I think David had this understanding of what it means to lay his life down for the sheep in a very practical way, right? He was a shepherd. He understood what it meant to protect the sheep or go out after this bear. There's a very real understanding that his life could have been lost, and yet he was willing to lay it down for the sake of the sheep. Amen? And that's a picture of who Christ is and what he did for us. But I think that same message pertains to you and I. Because, see, there's people that we can touch. There's people that we influence. And it comes many times in finding some satisfaction in the sacrifice or realizing that this sacrifice, as difficult as it may be, there's value in it. There's something that the Spirit of God is doing in it and through it, that for that joy that is set before you, you're going to endure that. Amen? I think of this trip that I took recently. I've shared some stories about it. It was on Memorial Day. I went camping with my brothers, and it was actually Monday, the Memorial Day, when we got up to the campsite. We kind of blazed our own trail. There was nobody else around. It was just us. And we off-roaded, and we found this perfect spot, and we set up camp. We built a fire. We're there, and My brother, my younger brother, who is retired military, we're all sitting there around the campfire and just kind of enjoying the beauty of creation and of being in this place where we've talked about going for so many years, and we finally were there, right? And we're just experiencing this and being outdoors and perfect weather, and just everything was fantastic. And my younger brother says, he says, boys, we got somebody else that's going to join us tonight. He's kind of walking away from the fire, and we're like, what did he just say? There's somebody else going to be here? And it was really powerful, because he walks back to the fire, and he had an army rucksack, and he set it down next to the fire, and he had a folded flag. He set the flag right on top of the backpack. And he says, we have a special guest with us here tonight, boys. And it was powerful to realize that what he was saying is that there are many who have laid their lives down so that we could have the freedom that we were experiencing in that very moment. For me, that's, I think, the most significant and memorable Memorial Day I've ever had. Because you realize, man, there's something about that sacrifice that has benefited me. And certainly as followers of Christ, we recognize what it is that Christ has done. Amen. And we see the value of how it has benefited us in our lives. But listen, I want to say the same is true for you and I and for your life. That your life is significant, and be willing to lay it down. Most soldiers don't probably look forward to dying, but I think they go into it with this mentality that says, you know, I am willing to do that. I'm willing to lay my life down. I'm going to do that, and many have. And I think if you and I have that kind of mentality as followers of Christ, not that we want to give our lives, not that it's always easy, but if we have this understanding or this passion in our heart that says, I'm willing to do this, I think we can honestly find satisfaction in that, in the realization of what it is that Christ has done in us and through us. You know, a couple of my daughters have had opportunity to travel to Washington, D.C., one of them recently, and see all these monuments, these buildings, these monuments, these statues, these things that are, you know, I've seen pictures. I haven't actually seen them, but one of my daughters just talks about how much bigger they really are when you see them than when you see a picture. You realize, man, this is a huge memorial, right? And it's, you know, you've got the Lincoln Memorial and the Martin Luther King Memorial and the Washington Memorial and the Vietnam Memorial and the Korean War Memorial, all of these, this whole area, the place of the founding of our country. There's all these significant memorials, these monuments that are built. And one of the things that I began to realize as I was sharing with another brother of mine just recently, we began to realize that, you know, these monuments speak to the life of the person, but it also signifies something that is much, much deeper than just that person's life. It's what they stood for, amen, and what was accomplished through the laying down of their lives. And I think that if you and I begin to realize that about our lives, rather than trying to avoid sacrifice, that we're willing to lay our lives down and enjoy the journey, I think that'll really help us as we walk this out. Because, you know, many times I think we lose the sight of that because we're trying to get to some place we aren't, rather than just living where we are, amen, and following Christ where we are. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 and 16 says this, therefore, by him, in reference to Christ, therefore, by Christ, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And do not forget to do good and to share, because with these sacrifices, God is well pleased. Now, I don't think worship and praise in and of itself is a sacrifice. Amen. I mean, what a blessing today, just as we've been in fellowship already this morning. So many things throughout the time of worship, and as different brothers and sisters shared scriptures and different things about that, just speaking to the goodness of God and the love of God, that he's worthy to be praised, amen. I think what that sacrifice of praise is talking about is that, you know, we don't always feel like being thankful. We don't always feel like we've got joy. There might be difficulties. There might be challenges. There might be issues in relationships or just in life or attacks of the enemy or any number of things. But listen, that sacrifice of praise, I think, is us being at a point where we're saying, you know what, I don't feel like praising God. I don't understand these challenges. Maybe there's confusion or discouragement or any number of things, but we say, you know what, I am going to praise God. I am going to declare His goodness. I'm going to give honor where honor is due. Amen. And I'm going to praise God. That is the sacrifice of that. Listen, God inhabits the praises of His people. Amen. The Word of God says that, and I believe we've all experienced that you can be in the most difficult situation. You can be in a horrible state of mind. You can have all kinds of things going on, but listen, when you begin to praise, what happens? What happens when you begin to praise? God inhabits the praises of His people, and it's like you go to a whole different place, don't you? You begin to experience that joy, and there is something in the sacrificing of us saying, I'm gonna put aside my own self, my own feelings, my own struggles, and I'm gonna praise God. And it takes us to this place where I believe we see the benefit of that sacrifice. Amen. I want us to just take a moment here and just praise God. Amen. If you want to stand, you can stand, but I just want us to take a few moments right here and just declare God's goodness. Amen. Hallelujah. Join with me as you would. Hallelujah. Praise You, Father. Hallelujah. We praise You, God. We bless You. We honor You. We declare Your goodness. Hallelujah. We declare, Lord, that You are far above all other gods. Your name is above every name. The name of Jesus Christ is above every other name. Hallelujah. We praise You, Lord. We bless You. We honor You. We declare Your goodness and Your faithfulness. Hallelujah. You are the Lion of the tribe of Judah. There is none like You, O God. Hallelujah. We just praise You. We bless You. We honor You. We exalt You. Hallelujah. You are worthy. You are God of all. Hallelujah. You are the God of all creation. Hallelujah, Lord. We bless You. We praise You. We honor You. Thank You, Jesus, for Your life. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for Your comfort. Thank You, Father, for manifesting Your love towards us, even that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Lord, thank You. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord. We praise You. We praise You. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is worthy of all praise. Amen. I think the next aspect of enjoying the journey is finding satisfaction in serving. Amen. Finding satisfaction in surrender or that aspect of our lives that is just a continual attitude of our heart. Amen. Serving is something to me that is like a daily thing. A lot of times when I think of sacrifice or of laying my life down, right? I think of it as a moment here or a moment there. But when I think of serving, I'm talking about an attitude of the heart or a lifestyle where we are serving. If you can find satisfaction in serving, I guarantee you, you're gonna enjoy the journey a lot more rather than trying to avoid it. Because obviously, you know, Christ is the ultimate example, amen, of a life of serving. We see that so many places in Scripture. There's something, though, about serving, this surrender, this submission, this humility that produces something in our life that is an element of who Christ is in us as we work out his identity or that nature of who Christ is in us. We're working out this salvation. Amen. We're coming to these understandings of the truth of who He is in us. Amen. Paul writes to the Galatians, and in chapter 5, verse 13, he says, "You, brothers, have been called to liberty, but don't use that liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. Instead, through love, serve one another." Serve one another. Amen? Having that kind of heart, that sort of attribute, that characteristic of the nature of Christ. In Mark chapter 10, verse 43 through 45, Jesus says, he's just been talking to the disciples about how the world operates and how the world treats each other. He says, it's not that way, though, among you. Whoever wishes to become great among you will be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you will be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. I want to encourage you this morning to begin to look for opportunities to serve. Amen. Look for opportunities to serve. There's plenty of them out there. And you and I, as brothers and sisters in Christ, as the members of God's family, we do love each other. We do serve each other. But I'm talking about something that even goes beyond that. I'm talking about the life of Jesus. Even people that weren't following him, they recognized that he was a servant. Amen. They saw that in his life and that he laid his life down. Amen. In John chapter 13, verses 12 through 14, this is the account where Jesus is with the disciples and he washes their feet. You know, in that day and time and in that culture, that was the job of the servant, like one of the lowest servants, right? The master wasn't the foot washer. The servant was the foot washer, right? That was just part of their job, part of the way they lived. But in John chapter 13, starting in verse 12, it says, when Jesus had washed their feet, he took his garments and he sat down again and he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say that well, for so I am. But if I, your Lord and your teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. You know, it's kind of cool, that part of the scripture where Jesus asks him that question, do you know what I have done to you? And when I read that, I think that it was more than just the washing of the feet. There was something significant that happened in his disciples' lives as he was serving them. I remember the time I went to, I think it was my second trip to Haiti. My wife and I took a group of eight teenagers with us, and we had gone down there. It was a really significant trip. Many of you have heard me share different aspects of that story. That was the time that we actually gave some money to the man who later became Pastor Fleury, and we have great relationship with him. But I remember this trip. We're down there, and we'd connected up with another team, and we're all there just kind of having a time of devotion and just sharing together. And it was really significant because a couple of the kids in our group began to wash our feet. And listen, I think washing somebody's feet as a servant, that does require humility, but there was something of humility that took place in me, the one who was having his feet washed. Because I don't know if that's ever happened to you or not, but I kind of got this picture of, you know, because in Haiti, it was probably a lot more similar to what it was like in Jesus' day and time. People, you know, walk a lot, or you know, some of them ride bikes, some of them do have vehicles and things like that, but there's a lot of walking that goes on, and it's hot. It's you can just get, your feet dirty pretty quick. And to have someone wash your feet, man, I mean, number one, it really makes your feet feel good because they're dirty and they're hot. And, you know, to have your feet washed, man, it's a blessing. Amen. It really does, you know, bless the one having their feet washed. But it did something in me that really, you know, you're almost like, no, don't wash my feet. I can wash my own feet. And honestly, at first, I kind of had this attitude that was a little bit prideful. Like, no, you ain't washing my feet. You know, you ain't washing my feet because they stink. They're dirty. They're ugly. And I can do it myself. I don't need nobody. You know, I mean, all these things. I don't know if that's ever happened to you. But, man, it was an experience, you know, as these things are running through through my mind, but you realize, well, how much more awkward would it be to just leave mad and say, you ain't washing my feet? I mean, you realize there's something happening here, and I had to humble myself as the one having his feet washed also. And I kind of think maybe that's part of what Jesus was saying as he's washing the disciples' feet. He wasn't just saying, hey, do you guys know that I just washed your feet? I think he's saying, do you realize what I've done to you? Do you realize? It was more than just the washing the feet. I think there was something that the disciples learned in that, in the example that Jesus had given them of serving, that probably changed and transformed their lives. Pretty much everything Jesus did, I'm sure, changed the disciples' lives. But when I read that question, man, that was the thing that I thought of. He says, do you know what I have done to you? I've washed your feet. I've taught you something of humility and of about serving. And see, this is the heart and the attitude that if you and I can find satisfaction in serving, we'll really learn to enjoy the journey. Now, to kind of solidify this point, I'd like you all to take your socks and shoes off, and I'm going to wash your feet. No, I'm kidding. You're like, you ain't wash. No, but listen, there's significance in serving. There's value in serving, and of having that kind of heart and that kind of attitude. And as we learn that, it helps us to enjoy the journey. The last aspect of enjoying the journey that I want to look at this morning is finding satisfaction in simplicity. Finding satisfaction in simplicity. I want to read this scripture from Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 through 11. It says this, therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if there's any affection and compassion, Paul says, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Don't do anything from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Don't merely look out for your own personal interests, but also look out for the interest of others. Consider Christ, he says. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself and took the form of a servant. And he laid his life down. He humbled himself and became obedient even to the point of death, death on a cross. But it says, because of that, God also highly exalted him and bestowed on him that name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee would bow, every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. I think as Paul is writing this, there's a few things that really stuck out to me in it. And he says, if there is any encouragement in Christ, you know, sometimes I think in our pursuit of God's call in our life, of us walking out this journey, I think sometimes we make it a lot more complicated than it really is. Right? Because we're trying to find, man, I'm trying to find my purpose. I'm trying to figure out, man, how can this ministry be this or be that or you know, go in these places or do what they're doing, all these things that are great in and of themselves. And listen, I believe that we're meant to have impact. That those are good things, those are dreams, those are things we want to do and pursue that call of God in our life. But if we're so focused on where we aren't, we lose sight of the significance and the simplicity of where we are. Listen, today at this very moment, just like Paul is writing here, if there is any encouragement in Christ, you can all encourage one another, can't you? Sure you can. And I think that's significant. It's very simple. But for some reason, we try to make all these complicated things, these impossible things. Listen, I love faith. All things are possible to him who believes. Let's believe God for the impossible. Yes, let's do that. Let's see it. He demonstrates that. He shows us that as we pray for someone who's sick and they're healed. That's awesome. Amen. Those are wonderful things that we need to pursue. But listen, don't lose sight of the simplicity and the value of what we can offer all the time. And this attitude of simplicity, of encouraging one another. If there is any encouragement in Christ, he says, if there is any consolation of love, can you console someone today? Can you offer a word of encouragement or a word of comfort? Amen. Speak life into someone. You can do that. That's ministry. That's the beauty of this and the power of this gospel that we're talking about. He says, if there's any fellowship in the Spirit, if any affection or compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in purpose or united in spirit, intent on one purpose. And sometimes there's these moments where God reminds me of this stuff. I get in so much of a hurry sometimes. I know part of it's culture, part of it's just, you know, my own drivenness, but I can, you know, it's like mealtime sometimes. I've shared this before. You know, sometimes a mealtime is just like at Mach 3, right? It's like dinner's ready. You know, it's kind of like you just eat on your way by because you're moving on to something else. What? Well, nothing. Maybe watching the baseball game or whatever it is. It's not even stuff that's that big a deal, and yet I've created many times these habits in my life that I lose the value of even just sharing a meal together, right? Or those kinds of things. And that's what Paul, I believe, is talking about here. Just offer take some time, man. Just, you know what? Encourage one another. Love one another. Console one another. Fellowship in the Spirit, affection, compassion. Man, those are very simple things, but they're very powerful. Amen? I think those are important. Luke chapter 12, verse 13 and following, it says, one of the people in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Man, who made me the judge or arbitrator over you?" He said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, because one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." And he goes on to give the example of the guy who had this abundance, and he built these storehouses, and he's doing all these kinds of things to store grain, and then all of a sudden his life is required of him. What does he have to show for life? How did he miss those moments of relationship, of fellowship, of enjoying a meal? Right, and we can sometimes get so caught up in that kind of thing. In Acts chapter 2, verse 46, you know, the early church, when the church first got started, it was awesome, and it still is today. Amen. I'm saying I think the early converts had something figured out that was pretty powerful. In Acts chapter 2, verse 46, we get a glimpse into that. It says, "They continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, and they ate their food with gladness and with simplicity of heart." Amen. There was something there that was just like, you know what? They just enjoyed being together, talking about the love of Jesus, fellowshipping in the Spirit, talking about how their lives had been transformed and changed. I think they probably had other stuff they needed to do. They probably all had jobs and crops in the fields and different things. And yet there was something so simple and yet powerful in just this sharing of meal together, going to somebody's house, the fellowshipping together. There's something to be said about that, and being thankful for the food, being thankful for the company even. You know, reflecting on my recent camping trip, and believe me, I've got 2 years' worth of stories from my trip, and I'm sure at different times you'll hear about them, but we wanted to kind of keep things as simple as possible. Amen. We wanted to get away from everything, and we wanted to keep things as simple as possible. So we went and bought these, they were like dried meals, and you just buy this pouch. You can get them at Walmart. We bought a whole backpack full of them, right? And there was like, I don't know, you know, 20 or 30 packages, you know, about this big, that was a meal. And essentially what you do is when you're ready to eat, you boil some water over the campfire, you dump 3/4 of a cup of boiling water in your pouch, and you stir it up and seal it, let it set for about 5 or 10 minutes, and then you've got a nice hot plate of lasagna, right? Or some scrambled eggs and bacon, or biscuits and gravy, or beef stew. And I mean, seriously, this, it was good. It was really good food. And then when you're done eating, you throw your package in the fire, boom, don't even have to do dishes. Right? It was really simple. And we enjoyed that, right? We enjoyed the simplicity of that. Because I mean, it was four guys together. Obviously, we planned it that way. It's like, I don't want to do dishes. I don't want to carry all this extra water to do that. Let's just keep it simple. And so it was, there was something in that where we enjoyed those meals. We enjoyed the simplicity of it. We enjoyed being able to sit there and just kind of fellowship and to share this food together. Now, I could have lost something in that of thinking, man, you know, it'd be really nice if we had like a 7-course meal and a banquet table here with all this fine china and a refrigerator full of, you know, ice cold lemonade or whatever it was. But rather than focusing on what I didn't have, as simple as it was, we just really, really enjoyed it. And there's something I think to be said about enjoying the simplicity of the gospel. It's powerful, but it's really, really simple. And I don't want us to overcomplicate it. And I don't think we're supposed to. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. Again, this is Paul writing, but he says, our boast is this. The testimony of our conscience is that we conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and in godly sincerity. Amen. It wasn't from fleshly wisdom, but it was by the grace of God and more abundantly even towards you. He says, you know what? Our boast is this, is that we've conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity. Listen, the world is complicated enough. Our lives, our emotions and our thinking and life in general is complicated enough without you and I making it more complicated by saying, here's what you got to do to follow Christ. Right? There is something so powerful in just keeping the message simple, of just sharing the truth of God's love with somebody. Amen? And the simplicity of that, I think, is part of the power of what the grace of the gospel is. Because my life is messed up and I want something to fix it. But if you're going to give me a 49 million page manual on how to fix your life through the gospel, it's like, man, I'm not interested. I just need to be fixed right now. Well, listen, love covers a multitude of sins. The simplicity of just loving people, of sharing the truth of the gospel with people, man, there's power in that. Amen. And in another place, Paul writes to the Corinthians again in chapter 11, of verse 13. He says, my fear is that somehow you would be deceived, just like the craftiness of the serpent deceived Eve, and that your minds would be corrupted away from the simplicity that is in Christ. I think that's possibly one of the biggest challenges that you and I face as followers of Christ, right? We overcomplicate it, and many times we overthink it. It's not that complicated. It's very significant, right? The sacrifice that Christ made was hugely significant. His example of serving is powerful. And yet this simplicity of what it is, the truth of it and of keeping it simple, I think it'll really bless your life. I know it blesses my life, right? Begins to remove all these things that just aren't really part of it, but it's stuff we've put in place to maybe to try to comprehend it. But it's just by faith that we do that. And again, it comes back, this thing of simplicity is just, as I've mentioned to my kids at different points in their lives, and even in reflecting on my own life, it's like, sometimes it's like, man, I can't wait till I'm such and such an age. Or I can't wait until I have this thing or that thing. Or I can't wait until that happens or this happens. Or I'm this or I'm that. And, you know, my encouragement to them is, you know what? Enjoy the age that you are. Enjoy your life right now. It's not perfect. And you know what? It's never going to be perfect till we get to heaven anyway. So enjoy it. Enjoy it. And in the midst of the sacrifice, find the satisfaction in whatever it is that you're being called to do, just lay your life down. Amen. Find satisfaction in serving and in the daily in and out, giving your life, but in serving and in humbling yourself and in making a difference. And find satisfaction in the simplicity and the power of the gospel. Amen. In the power of God's love and joy and peace. And that, you know what? You're free to be who God made you to be. You're free. Amen. He set you free. And so enjoy that simplicity. Enjoy that freedom. Amen. So, Father, we just thank you today for your word. We thank you for this time, Lord, of worship and of your word and of our fellowship together. We're so blessed, Lord, and we're so grateful. We just give you thanks and praise for that. You know, if there's anyone here today and something in these scriptures spoke to your heart concerning sacrifice of laying your life down or being willing to lay your life down, or in serving, or of humbling yourself, maybe issues of pride or whatever it might be, or in simplicity, maybe you've just overcomplicated and you just want to walk in that simplicity and understanding of the gospel. If you need prayer in any one of those areas, anyone at all, you just lift your hand and you say, you know what, yeah, pray for me, agree with me this morning. I need some prayer. Anyone at all, praise God. I see your hand, amen. Anybody else, I see your hand. Hallelujah. Any others? Amen. Amen. I see your hand. And yours, brother. Amen. Anyone else? Praise God. Hallelujah. We just thank you, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for ministering to these. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're moving and speaking and ministering and healing and liberating and comforting those that have lifted their hands this morning, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you. You know what they have need of before they even ask. And we're just thanking you for it, Lord. Thank you in advance, Lord. Thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Maybe if you're here this morning and you just need prayer for anything else, maybe there's sickness in your body, maybe there's a situation that you just need someone to agree with you in prayer. Amen. Anyone at all, you need prayer. Amen. I see your hand. Anybody else? Amen. I see your hand. Praise God. Any others? Sickness or situations, things in your life that you need prayer for this morning. Praise God. Father, I pray for these sisters that have lifted their hand this morning. And Father, we just thank you for health and for wholeness. God, for you working and moving in every situation in their life. Lord, for the demonstration and the manifestation, God, of your love and your goodness and your faithfulness. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your promises. We thank you for your promises for their life. Father, we come into agreement with your word, with your truth. God, that every sickness be gone in the name of Jesus. Lord, every bondage be broken in the name of Jesus. Every oppression be lifted in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. We just thank you and we praise you, Lord, that their lives demonstrate the goodness and the grace and the mercy of a loving God and a good Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.